Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Just got out of a MAGA rally in Arizona. The president mentioned us and our work. It's pretty amazing. We also go through tech tyranny and so much more. Please consider supporting us. CharlieKirk.com/support. We aren't sleeping. We are working. You make it possible. CharlieKirk.com/support. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. We just went to one of the most amazing Trump rallies I've ever been to. We are right now in Bullhead City, Arizona, right on the border between Arizona and Nevada. We have been crisscrossing the country. Probably when you were listening to this right now, we're in Florida, just campaigning for the president, doing everything we possibly can to get him reelected. And I like going to these Trump rallies, not just because it excites me, but I learn a lot. I meet a lot of different people. I'm able to ask questions about what motivates them. Why are they here? What issues matter to them most? The president said something throughout the speech that I realized was part of a bigger picture. So the president entered on Air Force One. You would have thought that the Pope had come to Bullhead City. I mean, Bullhead City is a small town. It's a very small town. And the entire county seemed to show up for the president. Tens of thousands of people, as far as the eye could see, were there to support President Trump right on the border of Arizona and Nevada. And the president remained committed to an optimistic, positive, forward-thinking agenda and vision. And it kind of connected as I saw it happening in real time. What is the remaining story of what President Trump wants to do for our country and Joe Biden wants to do for our country? What stories are they trying to tell the American people? Joe Biden's story is what he told us. Joe Biden would bring us to an American winter. He said it himself. Play tape of Joe Biden saying, we're entering a dark winter. Play tape.
And by the way, this is the same fellow who told you this is going to end by Easter last time. This is the same fellow who told you that, don't worry, we're going to end this by the summer. We're about to go into a dark winter, a dark winter. And he has no clear plan, and there's no prospect that there's going to be a vaccine available for the majority of the American people before the middle of next year.
Joe Biden's entire message is about hundreds of thousands of people that have lost their lives. It's dark. It's depressing. And yes, it is true. We've had a tough 9 months. But playing into how difficult things are currently and not looking at actually the progress we've made or how much better we are than the rest of the world is not an accurate picture. It's not one that I believe will help build broad-based coalitions to be able to win the critical states necessary. When Joe Biden wants an American winter, Donald Trump wants to bring us to an American summer. I think that's the distinction in the last 5 days, and I think the president needs to lean in on it. If I were the president, I would continue to say, I'm going to open America. Joe Biden will keep America closed. And I think it would be refreshing to go through some of the other countries, how they are handling the Chinese coronavirus. You know, our team landed very late in Bullhead City, and we got ready for the rally. But right before that, one of our team members had a conversation with a Uber driver from Ireland. And he was talking about how in Ireland, things remain completely and totally closed. That there are restrictions going from county to county, that they literally check your passport when you're just trying to go to a restaurant that might be in a different county in Ireland. The draconian lockdowns are only happening again in France. Right as I'm doing this podcast, France just announced they are going through a second round of national mandated lockdowns. Italy, very much the same. Spain as well. The fact that America has opened up and we are seeing mortality rates go down, it shows that therapeutics are working better. We understand how to handle this virus better than ever. And it also goes to show the lockdowns do not work. The lockdowns are really a symptom, and I use that word intentionally, of a unscientific, lazy perspective that is rooted and based in fear. It does nothing but prolongs the inevitable spread of the Chinese coronavirus and just putting all of your hopes in a singular vaccine is not anywhere close to logical or based in reason. And so as President Donald Trump was talking, I looked around to 15, 20,000 people, and they were smiling. Some were wearing masks, some were not, but they were excited. And then it all kind of came together as President Trump finished his speech and they played the old song YMCA. President Donald Trump was dancing on stage as he does without moving his feet, which is kind of his patented way of dancing, and with, you know, having fun with the crowd, and the crowd was loving it. And I realized that President Donald Trump is trying to make America hope again. I use that word intentionally because that word hope is exactly what got President Barack Obama elected in 2008. I truly believe the more optimistic candidate in this chapter of American history will be rewarded politically. And so if you go through the checklist, Joe Biden is for shutting down America. I'm for opening up America. The problem is that Joe Biden is blaming the lockdowns on Donald Trump. Is that Joe Biden is actually trying to make it seem as if he is the open up candidate. We know that is completely and totally untrue. In fact, the opposite is correct. And as you're trying to make the closing arguments, do you think Joe Biden's dancing at any rallies? Do you think Joe Biden is excited about trying to run for the presidency? Joe Biden's entire campaign is basically and mostly trying to eulogize the death of America. Think about it. When Joe Biden's speaking, you feel as if he's overseeing the funeral. This is a horrible place. Things are terrible. Your leader is awful. Then you contrast that with the visual of the Trump campaigns, the excitement, the enthusiasm, people that travel from 500-600 miles, the plane flies in, the music is blaring of Botticelli, and you kind of just say, I kind of love this country. It's amazing. And you look at the Joe Biden rallies that are no more than 20 people with these massive circles, like they're doing target practice, like they're dropping bombs from the helicopter or something. And they're all 30 feet apart. You ask yourself, who is trying to channel the inherent positivity of America? I think we all know the answer to that, but I think the president has to lean in on that more. When the president smiles, when the president has fun, when the president allows the crowd to play into him and he plays off of them. There are some other points of the speech that I really enjoyed. Towards the end, it was the best list of what President Trump said he was going to do for our country that I have ever heard him do. It is a phenomenal closing argument. It is broad-based. It is not single issue. It brings Democrats into the fold, including making our kids love America again, patriotic education, and more. Play tape.
Over the next 4 years, we will make America into the manufacturing superpower of the world, and we will end our reliance on China once and for all. We'll make it right here in Arizona. We will expand opportunity zones, reduce your taxes, obliterate your regulations like we've done. Nobody has ever done what we've done to regulations, and provide school choice to every parent in America. We will hire more police, increase penalties for assaults on law enforcement, and we will ban deadly sanctuary cities. We will defend religious liberty, free speech, the right to life, and the right to keep and bear arms.
The president going through the list of accomplishments one by one of how his administration and his policies have contrasted with the people that have governed our country the last 30 or 40 years. And one thing that brought me a lot of joy is hearing how the president talked about big tech and their interference in the distribution of information. And I want to actually build out some of the things we learned in the hearing from big tech testifying in front of Congress that happened. There was a lot of revelations. But the thing that President Trump needs to do is they have the major power sources. We have you, the people. That is how he unifies the argument and he puts it all together. But I can tell you, for those of you that have never been to a Trump rally, for those of you that have never seen or experienced what a Trump rally is, it's hard to put it into words. There is almost a spiritual feeling to it. There's almost a, we are all in this together to take back our country. It's a movement full of joy and of love. There's always a rise in break-ins during the holidays. It's why Simply Safe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. 30% off any Simply Safe system and a free security camera. Recently, U.S. News & World Report called it, quote, the best home security system of 2020. Whether you're traveling or staying put for the holidays, it's 30% off plus free security camera, the deal before it ends. High-quality equipment. There's criminals on the loose. What are you doing? It's great camera footage. You guys got to get SimplySafe.com. Get 30% off at SimplySafe.com/Charlie. SimplySafe.com/Charlie. That's SimplySafe.com/Charlie. Protect yourself, protect your family, protect your loved ones from all the criminals and the vigilantes out there. SimplySafe.com/Charlie. We just got done with the Trump rally, and the president did mention me in his speech, and the production team says we should play it. So here we are. Play tape.
And another friend of mine who was treated very, very poorly by big tech, but he's smarter than all of them. And he figured this out a long time ago, and he's got a very successful book that just came out, Charlie Kirk. Everybody knows Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
I also had the opportunity to actually open up at the rally and speak for a little bit. I want to play a small part of my speech where I talk about President Donald Trump violating the golden rule of American politics. Play tape.
In my RNC speech, I called the president the bodyguard of Western civilization. He is fighting for the forgotten men and women of our country. And when he got elected, he violated the one rule in Washington, D.C. He actually did what he said he was going to do. He moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He recognized Golan Heights. He canceled the Iran deal. He's building the wall on the southern border. Amy Coney Barrett, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, 300 circuit court judges and federal judges on all across the country. He lowered taxes. He destroyed ISIS. Soleimani, al-Baghdadi are dead. Manufacturing is coming back to our country. He is fighting and ending child sex trafficking in our country. And now this Tuesday, the question is, who's in charge? Is Google in charge or are the people in charge? Is Peter Strzok in charge or are the people in charge? We need to rise up in record numbers, tell our families, tell our friends, tell our loved ones, because this election is the most important election since 1860 for our generation, for future generations, where we are going to make our kids love America again.
President Trump actually did what he said he was going to do. He fulfilled his promises for the American people in complete and total opposition to the wishes, to the wants, and the desires of the American ruling class. And who is the American ruling class? We talk about that a lot. The American ruling class is comprised of people that have enough power to suppress your first principles. What does that mean? We talk about the ruling class, but let's actually define who they are. The ruling class are full of people that have enough power to make your ability to speak freely, form a family, invade your privacy, such as the big tech titans. So I want to go into one story here of Senator Ted Cruz interviewing Jack Dorsey. Jack Dorsey looked like he was a prisoner in some form of a hostage situation. And I know Jack, he's a nice guy. But Senator Ted Cruz, of course, was the former Solicitor General of Texas before he became U.S. Senator. And Ted was not joking around. Ted was phenomenal. I just have to say, Senator Ted Cruz was one of his, at his very best here. And you can just look in the still image I'm looking here. Ted was not playing games. So let's play tape first of Senator Ted Cruz saying, who the hell elected you? Play tape.
Twitter takes the view. You can censor the New York Post. You can censor Politico. Presumably, you can censor the New York Times or any other media outlet. Mr. Dorsey, who the hell elected you and put you in charge of what the media are allowed to report and what the American people are allowed to hear? And why do you persist in behaving as a Democratic super PAC, silencing views to the contrary of your political beliefs?
This is a very important point. Who elected you? When someone is not elected, when someone is not given the trust by the people, which is exactly what the U.S. Constitution is designed to do, it is a contract between the people and the government. And it is the people that formed the government, because the people formed the state government and the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. So what Ted Cruz is saying is, under what sovereign power does Twitter have the authority to prevent human beings to be able to interface and communicate? That is a winning argument. And Ted is exactly right, because we have seen what happens when these tech companies are allowed to act like publishers, even though they are platforms. And they are given Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act that gives them a regulation that it's not that they don't even get regulated. It's that they have protection against being regulated at all. And so basically what Jack Dorsey said, it was clumsy and it was awful, where he said, oh, we can allow the New York Post to come back on if they delete the tweet, even though the New York Post did nothing wrong. And so these tech companies are acting with an incredible amount of hubris. The amount of hubris that they are operating with is that they really believe that the Democrats are going to get back to power and that they are going to be protected at all costs. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, one day only sale. Wouldn't you rather just work with a company who puts you on a pedestal every day? That's what you get from Pure Talk, a veteran-run wireless company who understands what it means to serve. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, if you're with one of them, you're overpaying pure and simple. Pure Talk can easily save you over $400 a year. Listen, this is all you need. Unlimited talk and text and 2 gigs of data for just $20 a month. And if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. What a novelty, a company that actually puts their customers first. Switching to Pure Talk is the easiest decision you'll make today. You can keep your phone or your number. You can keep your phone and your number or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk. When you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and say keyword Charlie Kirk. Pure Talk, simply smarter wireless. Isn't it interesting that the Republican senators have now been the most critical against corporate power? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, they are elected by their constituents around the ideas of being skeptical of corporate power. Except the corporate power that they're skeptical of is oil and natural gas companies, or transportation companies, or housing companies, or any sort of company that doesn't deal in the one space that protects their political potential monopoly, social media tech companies. Now, they actually do criticize Facebook and Twitter, but they criticize them differently. You see, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who considers herself to be a corporate crusader or a corporate critic, she gets elected into power primarily by attacking Amazon and kicking them out of New York City. What is the one way that they actually attack these tech companies? It's not the way that Senator Ted Cruz attacks the tech companies or criticizes them. And Senator Ted Cruz did a phenomenal job, and so did Marsha Blackburn. No, the way that they criticize Facebook is that they think that Facebook is not acting enough in the interests of the Democrat Party. The way that they put pressure on Facebook is not the way that Senator Ted Cruz does. You see, the Democrats welcomed having Facebook and Twitter come testify. They didn't think it was a waste of time. But the questions that Democrats typically throw at these tech companies is, why aren't you doing more to stop spreading hate on your platform or disinformation? They consider Tucker Carlson to be disinformation. They consider Rush Limbaugh to be disinformation. Some Democrats consider this program you're listening to be disinformation. That's why when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, it's not insignificant. It really helps us move the dial so that we can continue to push back against these corporate titans. But what we have been talking about in the last couple months is all proving to be true. The Democrats talk a good game when it comes to criticizing corporate power. They are adamant about trying to get the voters to trust them around a revolution against the massive companies that are ruining America. Where Republicans generally will say, well, if a company has a lot of power, they probably make a really good product, they pay a lot in taxes, and we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt before we end up criticizing them. And this is where conservatives have gone wrong, by the way, the last couple of years. The reason why conservatives are now late to the big tech censorship game is that we have believed almost dogmatically that all private companies, that all LLCs are always in the best interest of their consumers. That's not correct in this case. These tech companies, Facebook, Twitter, and Google, have proven that they just want to pander to a small set of the power influence in this country, that they do not want to communicate with conservatives, that they might have conservatives that use their platform, but they have no interest whatsoever in allowing their platform become a place where dissenting and differing ideas are allowed to be spread. And so when you have a company like Facebook that is the number one social network in the country and on the planet, and people want to say, I'm upset at my politician, I want to petition my government for redress and grievances, and you're not able to do that on Facebook, then your fundamental First Amendment rights are indeed being violated in the digital age. I could make an argument that the founding fathers, the spirit of the First Amendment, if you look at it from a textualist and you look at it from an originalist point of view, the reason the founding fathers put in the First Amendment, the reason they put it into place was that you should be able to challenge your lawmakers, that you should be able to speak out against people in power. That's the spirit. The First Amendment, in the founders' opinion, never should have stopped just because a company is formed as an LLC. Now, that's not to say that every company should be completely bound by the First Amendment. However, when a tech company then becomes the public square, that's when they have to be bound by the First Amendment. And so when the founding fathers had the intention of, if you limit citizens' capacity to speak out against the power sources in our country, like Twitter has against the New York Post, then your civilization will disintegrate. The founders were so incredibly brilliant. They studied Cicero and Montesquieu, Augustine and Aquinas, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. They understood what motivated human beings. And more importantly, they understood what would happen if human beings did not have the freedom to challenge who is in charge of them. As I mentioned in my speech that you heard previously, the question of this election is, who's in charge? And if you don't like who's in charge, are you allowed to say something about it? If you don't like who's calling the shots, what tools do you have at your disposal? And for those that are Trump supporters, the reason why we wear these beautiful red hats, the reason why we travel hundreds of miles to go to rallies, the reason why when we hear Trump speak, it is the manifestation of so many different issues we care about. But more than anything else, he's all we have left. Think about this. We don't have the universities. We're trying to fix that at Turning Point USA. We don't have the tech companies. We don't have Hollywood. What other instrument for American restoration do we conservatives have left? The think tanks? It's a joke. We have, I guess, a couple authors. They also hate Donald Trump. I'm talking like Brad Thor, who's a friend of mine, but he hates Trump. A couple Hollywood people. But there is talk radio and there is Fox, but those are not instruments for mass societal civil reclamation, meaning the reclaiming of what matters in our country. That's what Donald Trump represents. And that's where you now have the intersection of free speech and free ideas and the marketplace of ideas and those people that oppose that. If conservatives ran Facebook, you would have a platform where all ideas were allowed to be expressed. And if conservatives ran Facebook and they were stomping down on socialist content, they would have their Section 230 immunity stripped immediately. And the president wants Section 230 immunity to be stripped. As soon as you start using subjective terms, as soon as you start using terms that are not able to be viewed with data and evidence and math as a reason to restrict speech, then you're the tyrant. So the founders in spirit wanted even the most radical people to have the right to speak out. Maybe their ideas are awful. Well, that will be very clear as soon as they start speaking. The tech companies have become convinced that their platform is now being used by bad people for bad aims and bad objectives. If they were actually a platform, that's not their call. It's not. Their call should be to keeping the platform free and open and saying to other content creators, well, then go make your argument. Now, mind you, the false argument that is made by the ruling class academics and the ivory tower elites is that, well, this is exactly how fascist Italy came. Bad ideas being allowed to spread very quickly without the truth being able to be heard. Well, first of all, they're actually suppressing the truth. That's the first difference. Second of all, Benito Mussolini, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, or 1930s Germany, which is the example that is thrown around the most, that somehow America is going to descend into 1930s Germany if you allow Facebook to be an open platform. Do you know the big difference is? Those people, those dictators, they went after speech first. They didn't use speech. They went after the free press. They went after the religious institutions. If these companies actually understood history and did not play into the worst impulses of the power-grabbing intelligentsia, they'd say, no. You know how we prevent a 1930s Germany? By allowing everyone to speak, including the lunatics. If you let the lunatics to speak out, which there's plenty of them, fine, whatever, then allow them to be cross-examined. This is exactly why I am a free speech absolutist. And everyone should be. And this is what President Trump represents. President Trump is all we have left. And he's done so much. It's actually incredible, I have to say, that he won the first time. On this program, 4 months ago, I predicted that the two biggest barriers to Trump's reelection will be mail fraud and social media tech fraud. I've been saying it across the country. And when I talk about social media tech fraud, I had a lot of people in the U.S. Congress and that were 60 and above say, what are you talking about, social media tech fraud? I don't quite get that. Like they're going to all of a sudden stop allowing ideas from being discussed. The New York Post, everybody, is still locked out of their Twitter account. I'm going to tell you something that should frighten you. Imagine that you are sitting in your Buddhist prayer room in Menlo Park, California, like Jack Dorsey. You see a picture of him. He looks like he's been doing a lot of that. I want you to imagine that your assistant comes in and says, Mr. Dorsey, you have been subpoenaed to testify in front of Congress or asked to testify. I don't know if they actually went as far to issue subpoenas. You've been asked to testify. So then Jack gets done with his Buddhist prayer exercises and then has a conference call meeting with his Twitter team. And they start talking about the potential questions that could be asked of him in front of Congress. And they say, well, they're probably going to ask about the New York Post being locked out of Twitter. They're probably going to ask about the president being fact-checked. And as they were anticipating these questions from Congress, don't you think they would have unlocked the New York Post from Twitter before they got these questions from Congress? Who's in charge? Twitter and Google and Facebook, they know that they were just going through the motions in front of Congress. This should horrify you. Twitter thinks they're more powerful than these senators. I know that if I was subpoenaed to go in front of Congress because of something that I did that they didn't view favorably, that I could fix and correct, I would probably call my chief technology officer and say, hey, I'm about to testify in front of the House majority of the U.S. Senate. Do you think you could unlock that New York Post thing so I don't get that question? So I can say, oh, we rectified it. It's over. No, these tech companies are digging in. These tech companies are doubling down. These tech companies are not afraid of our government. They laugh at our government. Senator Ted Cruz asked that question. Jack Dorsey seemed mildly nervous, said, oh, they can delete the tweet. The real question should be, why didn't you do it in advance of this hearing? I'll tell you why. Because Google, Facebook, and Twitter own our government. They spend $35 million a year on lobbying. They are the communications arm of the Democrat Party. They're the enforcement arm of the Democrat Party. And they believe that if they wait their time and get enough metaphorical punches from the Republicans, eventually it will stop and their tech incumbency will be permanently protected. When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. And HR manager salaries are never cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business. And they help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time in HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Kirk. Spell B-A-M to the B-E-E.com/Kirk. I also want to get to another story here that connects directly with tech tyranny. That is two words. Tony Bobulinski. Tony Bobulinski did a hour-long interview with Tucker Carlson, basically unedited. 7.5 million people tuned in, by the way, more so than the NBA Finals. So Tucker Carlson should text that or tweet that to LeBron James, that Tucker Carlson sitting down with Tony Bobulinski received more viewers than the LA Lakers trying to win the NBA Finals. Pretty incredible. What we learned in this interview is that Joe Biden wasn't just involved. Joe Biden was the chairman of the board. Joe Biden was the Gordon Gekko of the Biden crime family deals. Gordon Gekko, if you don't know who that is, from the movie Wall Street. Great movie. You guys should check it out. Gordon Gekko knew about every deal that was happening in Wall Street, always. He knew the details. He knew the intricacies. There was nothing that was happening in Wall Street at the time without Gordon Gekko having his eyes on it. That's Joe Biden. And Tony Bobulinski, trying to save face, came out and said that Joe Biden lied deliberately at the debate when he said he wasn't involved in his son's business dealings. Play tape.
And in that debate, he made a specific statement around questions around this from the president. And I'll be honest with you, I almost stood up and screamed liar and walked out because I was shocked that after 4 days or 5 days that they prepped for this, that the Biden family is taking that position to the world.
He lied to the American people and he stole our money to enrich his family. But here's the really disturbing part of this story, is that Joe Biden ran for president while knowing all of these things could have been exposed. He ran for president while many of these deals were ongoing, and he ran for president believing that no one would care. This goes back to the hubris that the tech companies have. Joe Biden thinks he's untouchable. Joe Biden believes that he has helped staff the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the civil service, and their bureaucracies for so many years that they wouldn't dare come after him or his family. And big tech will prevent the stories from being distributed or disseminated. Here's the fusion that we've been talking about for the last couple months that has now occurred. Silicon Valley, being 2,500 miles away from Washington, D.C., has almost seamlessly merged into the civil service, the fourth branch of government, and the Democrat Party and the Joe Biden campaign. If these people win this coming Tuesday, they will make America in their image. They will take away content that you enjoy that might be disagreeable or dissenting by nature. They will target people that will call out the current power structure in our country. And even worse than that, they will create a sense of normal where conservatives basically don't exist on the landscape. They're going to try to create a one-party state. Exactly what they've done to the state of California is what they're going to want to take nationwide, where their idea of an election is a Democrat running against a Democrat in the general election. That's literally what happens because of the runoff system in California, jungle primary. That's what they want the platforms to be. They want free speech to be somebody debating that we should give Medicare for all to illegal immigrants versus someone that thinks we should give free housing and Medicare for all to illegal immigrants. That's their idea of free speech. Their idea of free speech is Elizabeth Warren versus Bernie Sanders for president. My fear is that 12, 13, and 14-year-olds that are in America today, if these tech companies succeed, will never know a conservative voice, but the framework they'll be operating from will be, oh, we got rid of those guys. They don't exist anymore. Or they're on the fringes. They just win 20% of the election. This is for the future and the fate of our civilization. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you can go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support.